And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you very much for joining us on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. And we're going to let you know that we're here every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. And you can also listen to an archive of this program and all of the programs that we've done over the last 3 years at richarddugan.com. Go to the radio show's page and you will find a listing by year of all of the programs that we have done. We thank you so much for joining us and sharing this time with us. We do come your way every Saturday, and we like to let you know also that we'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. Love to hear what you have to say about our programs. If you have any ideas for our broadcasts, we'd like to hear that as well. And again, the email address is richard@richarddugan. That's richarddugan.com. We're going to take a look at the stars today, but we're going to take a look at them from a rather scientific perspective, and we're actually going to be taking a look at a subject that we've dealt with in previous programs, and that has to do with Vedic astrology. But we're going to talk with someone different today who has written a book. The book is entitled It's All in Timing. And Jagadish Maharishi, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
It's kind of nice to talk to people who have different perspectives on some of the same subjects. One of the big subjects for me, of course, is transitioning or death and dying. And we've talked about out-of-body experiences, things uh-huh. like that, near-death experiences and so forth, and preparing for that ultimate transition, if you will. Supposedly, you only do it once. But this is something that you could do just once, and that is have a reading by a Vedic astrologer and it's there for life. Is that accurate?
Pretty much. I would say, as far as getting the picture, overall picture of the personality and the purpose in life, mm-hmm. It's in that sense, yes.
Okay. So when you give readings, you have the same basic information as all Vedic astrologers. You have to have the same basic information.
Absolutely.
And that is, the name is helpful, obviously, to keep records and to associate with that chart. The birthplace, birth date, and birth time.
Great.
And those are the basic three, if you will, birthplace, date, and time.
Date, time, and place, right.
If someone's off by a minute or two, how critical is that?
It can become critical in a very rare instances when the planet is transiting from one sign to the next sign, or the ascendant is moving from one sign to the other. But in most cases, it's not.
And you've been practicing this for 15, 20, 25 years?
Yeah, it's over 25 years.
Obviously, you enjoy doing it because you're doing it for such a long period of time.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
But you came from a background, a scientific, or at least a scientifically based mind or mindset that sort of prepared you for that? Or were you aware of this form of astrology from a very early age?
Well, I'm a chemical engineer. I have a PhD in chemical engineering. And this interest in astrology really originated from the fact that I felt that this was a bow, in other words, this is a fake thing. And I wanted to go ahead and prove it. And at that point in time, my goal was to prove everything. This is bogus, and these people are just cheating people, playing on their emotions. And so in that sense, yeah, I gotten into that to prove it wrong. And I did have some success in proving it wrong. But before I proved it wrong, I had to read it, what mm-hmm. it is. And as I was reading into it, what I noticed, most important thing is, well, it's in the hands of those who have no ABC of science. They do not look at it from the science, don't treat it as a science. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's been what it has been. And it's not respected as a science. And so, from that point onwards, I have, out of my own curiosity, I decided to plunge into the research part of astrology. And whatever it is, I'm going to call spade a spade and heart a heart. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started doing astrology. And there was, you know, I had nothing to lose. If, you know, whatever comes out, comes out. And right. So that's how I started it. And then I read a lot of books. But most of the time it's based on my observation. I'm a self-taught astrologer. Mm-hmm. I did not go to any formal training or school or anything, just based on observation, reading books, and applying my scientific discipline.
Did you have experience with other forms of astrology, i.e. specifically the Western, because there seemed to be only two, and that's kind of what made you extremely skeptical and why you wanted to disprove Vedic astrology for what you thought it was, and then it...
Yes. Well, I did dwell in the Western astrology, Chinese astrology, Arabian astrology in early 80s. I spent about 5 or 6 years applying Western astrology because I thought that, hey, it's an astrology and something I should be looking at, and so many people are following it, so I did. But when it comes to predictions, when it comes to, you know, predicting the time period, I had a better success with the Vedic astrology. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we're going to talk more about this, talk about the basics of the Vedic astrological chart that you would then give to someone. And we'll also talk a little bit more about what you have in your book. It's all in timing. And Jagadish Maharshi is our guest. And also you have a PhD.
Yes.
Now, that PhD applies to the astrology, or it applies to the chemical engineering?
Chemical engineering.
Okay. Yeah. But why throw it out? You've earned it. Yeah. You've earned it. And we thank you so much for sharing your time with us. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And we want you to stay right where you are. We're coming right back. Understanding, that's what it's all about, understanding different people's perspectives. And we have had a Vedic astrologer on this program in the past, taking your calls and so forth. This program, we're not taking your calls. We're just talking with my guest, the author of It's All in Timing, Jagadish Mahesh. I'm going to get this right. Maharshi.
Correct.
Maharshi. Jagadish Maharshi. I got your first name correct the first time I met you. And you are from India. Is Vedic astrology prominent or predominant throughout India, or is it even really known about? I mean, and is it of the Indian culture and tradition and ancestry?
Yes, it is. More prominently, it's in the psyche of India.
It's part of the makeup of India. It's not necessarily coming from a particular group of, say, gurus or rishis so forth.
No, it's pretty much everybody is one way or other involved in astrology in terms of, using it to make the pretty much everyday decision sometimes, and sometimes most important decisions in life. It's as a guide. Some people use it as a guidance. Some people just follow it very strictly. Mm-hmm. There may be some, in some cases, it's like a faith, and in some cases, just a passing interest.
Now, it doesn't predict the future. It lays, this is my understanding, that it lays out, shall we say, the conditions that one would find as they travel along the roadmap or journey of their life.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right there.
So how could somebody use it, as you say, you know, almost religiously daily to make their decisions?
Well, that's where I differ from the traditional astrologers in India and my approach to this astrology. I strongly believe that it's a great tool for guidance. If you want to confirm some of the things that you're going to do, this comes really handy. If you want the second opinion about certain things, this is handy. And if you want a general guideline of what entails your near or long-term future, or your personality for that matter, it's a great tool. It's a great help in that sense. And it allows you to focus on those areas of your life which will enhance the joy in your life, fulfillment in your life. And it will take you in the right direction in terms of that ultimate happiness.
And of course, that's what we're all really seeking is, if you will, that ultimate happiness as part of our own documentation of this country's founding. You know, we have the opportunity, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We don't have the right to happiness, but the pursuit of, which we all certainly would love to do. So you're saying that by having a chart, by learning how to read it and understand it as we go through life, we're actually able to not necessarily release the stresses, the worries, and the struggles over the events that are happening, but maybe not even generate the stresses, the worries, and the struggles, and just realize that this is just part of my, this is just like the dirt that's on the road or the trees on the side of the road or the rain that's coming down. Yeah. It's part of the weather. This is part of my life, and it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay, absolutely.
Plus the fact that it's temporary.
Absolutely, it's temporary. This is to me, the way I'm looking at it, you know, your chart, birth chart is, this is the hand, it was dealt to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the essence of this hand? How best you can, you know, play this hand.
Okay.
If you will, in that terminology. And astrology helps you do that.
Okay. And again, this is based on science, and it's based upon the position of the stars at the moment, in the place, at the time of that person. But you can also do charts for events. Is that correct?
You could do the charts for the event as for a collective thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you could do that. Chart for the events, yeah. But that becomes an electional astrology. It's like horary astrology.
Mm-hmm.
That's another aspects of astrology. There are so many. There is there are like medical astrology. There are natural calamities. That whole area that I've been dealing with lately. That's astrology. And yes.
Now, in your book, you go through the process of telling us about what Vedic astrology is about, the parts therein, and then you actually take us through an individual's chart. Why did you choose Richard Nixon as your sample?
Good question. I have been interested since I landed this in country around 1971, and that's where this the Watergate phenomena, if you will.
Yeah.
It started in 72, 73. And this was, and I have been following his chart since then. And so it's my personal interest. And it's a lot easy for people to relate to because everyone has seen the whole drama unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us know at that point in time, the life of Richard Nixon. So I thought this would be a good example to explain my technique, the ninefold technique that I was applying to improve the success rate of my interpretation of a chart.
Now, since you used Nixon in your book, was there ever a place on his timeline in respect to his chart that didn't match up?
I would say in the beginning, yes, because I was naive in the sense, you know, I was learning astrology. But
that was a beginning for you.
That's the beginning for me. And so, well, you have to understand one thing, that the rules that come from Vedic astrology are really, it's the matter of interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And the more depth you have, your better chances of interpreting those rules. You know, it's really, you know, it's important. The times we live in are very different than the times during which the Vedic astrology was discovered or developed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really use your imagination to apply those rules for the present day society, present day conditions. And with that in mind, for example, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, these are, I call them modern planets, were not discovered then. And now they are discovered. They are part of our consciousness. And they do influence us. So we have to take influence of those planets into account as a part of Vedic astrology.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it's observation. You ask questions, why it didn't happen, why, and then you go back to the drawing board and figure it out. And so I would say by early 80s, I got a good handle on, you know, on as far as interpreting part mm-hmm. of the astrology concern. But not until 1993, when I have, accidentally or non-accidentally, I don't know, but I discovered this new technique
mm-hmm.
of applying the ninefold technique for progressive chart, which allowed me to predict the timeline, as you said, mm-hmm. you know, the timeline of a given, you know, individual based on the birth chart.
Mm-hmm.
So there is the natal chart, then the ninefold natal chart, then the progressive chart, and then the ninefold progressive chart. With these four charts, I predict the timeline as well as the static part, which is the individual personality and the strengths and weaknesses of a given person.
Now, when you compared the chart to his timeline and the events in his life, there was not an attempt, if you will, and I'm not even, that's not even the right word I want, but you weren't trying to say, okay, in the chart it says this, and this is the event in his life that right. happened, ergo, this in the chart means this. It doesn't, you don't start defining the attributes of a chart to specific, defined events.
No, absolutely not. What I do is basically, as I wrote this book, I looked at the main events, which are really three or four events, the political events. I focused on whatever the information in the public domain, whatever the events happened with respect to the public domain of his life, those are the one I focused on.
Mm-hmm.
I have to, because I strongly believe that it's everybody's chart is such a personal thing. It's such a, and so I have no right to discuss that chart in publicly.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I have to take the permission of Mr. Nixon and his family
mm-hmm.
to, and which I did before I started the book, you know. So, because I strongly believe it's a very personal information, I have no business mm-hmm. in looking at someone's chart if I'm not allowed to, if I'm not permitted to.
So he was aware before his passing?
He wasn't aware, his family. Like, yeah.
So you started the book after he passed?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, but I did have a permission. As a matter of fact, I wrote, not him, I wrote to White House to get the birth information, his chart in 1971-72.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have his letter from White House giving me, you know, the birth information. That's how I started.
Wow.
I typically do not get into anybody's chart until I have permission.
Right.
I publicly seek that permission.
Now, since you've written the book, have members of his family read your book as far as the conclusions you've come to? And have they given any reaction or...?
No, I haven't heard from
okay.
anybody, no.
When you wrote this book, your intention was what?
To explain the ninefold technique that I have discovered and the application of that ninefold technique to enhance the interpretation technique of a Vedic astrology, Vedic chart. That was my intention. Okay. That was the pure intention. And someone who is interested in learning Vedic astrology, right from the scratch, this book may prove to be a starting point for that matter. There is a lot of reference material that I refer to in order to complete a chart. But this book is an excellent starting point for in the learning process of Vedic astrology.
Have you been back to India since moving here? And I assume, well, I shouldn't assume, but are you a citizen of the U.S. now? Have you become a citizen, or are you still an Indian citizen?
No, I'm a U.S. citizen. I became U.S. citizen in 1986. And I was permanent resident since 1978. Mm-hmm. And I've been living in the United States, and that's where I know my destiny is.
And have not gone back?
Well, I do visit. I do visit every couple of years, and
I've not been, mm-hmm. but I've heard from people who have been, it changes them, and apparently it must be the places that they go that really change them, because they can't believe some of the things that they've experienced, and more to the point, the harsh conditions under which some people are living, where other people in some of the larger cities are doing quite well, and it's quite modern and quite Western, if mm-hmm. you will.
Yeah.
Is that your feeling as well?
That absolutely. There is a stark contrast as far as the haves and have-nots are concerned, you know, and you feel that, but at the same time, I feel every time I go there, there's something in that air that awakens the inner side of my, you know, of me. Mm-hmm. It's something in that air. I always feel regenerated when I return. I don't know what that is. My time just, you know, flies when I'm there. I do some travel, but most of the time I'm surrounded by the people. And it's a human experience. It's so overwhelming when I visit them. It's a human experience. It's a lot of people you're visiting at the same time.
Out of curiosity, how many charts do you think you've done since you started to do charts for people?
Do charts. I'd say over 12,000-13,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Granted, you have to have every one of them give you permission to do so, and if it's an individual, obviously they're coming to you for that purpose. And people can do that by going to a website?
Yes. They go to my website.
And what is that website?
It's www.astroinsight.com.
Okay, that's astroinsight.com, astroinsight.com. And they can also get in touch with you through that site as far as an email.
Absolutely.
Ask you questions.
Absolutely.
Set up an appointment. I would take it you would do the chart over the phone.
I do a chart over the phone, via email, in person. Mm-hmm. And because of the cybernet, it's mm-hmm. really, my clients are all international, you know, from Australia to Japan to Europe, you know, pretty much all continents.
And this sounds a little strange as far as a question, because obviously every single one of us is individual. We all have different paths on the road, if you will, on this journey we call life. But do you find, have you looked at these 13,000 charts or so and seen commonalities of experience or commonalities of conditions? I want to use that term mm-hmm. because we talk about that, the roadmap of our lives, depending upon when people are born and or where they are born. Is there any correlation to that?
Okay. Well, one thing I can certainly say, this is, you know, I mean, my research in last 10 or 15 years, that the place of birth, for example, someone who's born in the United States as opposed to someone born in China, there are certain planets one must take into account. In other words, the person who is born in the United States would have a prominent influence of Uranus. as opposed to a person who is born in China, would have a prominent influence of Saturn and Neptune.
Okay.
So if one has to take those into account to understand the initial setting, if you will, as the person grows in that environment.
Right.
And so it helps. It certainly helps. And this was kind of revealing to me as I, you know, research all the charts that I have done so far. And it stands out. For example, in the Chinese chart, if I look at the planet and if I say the person is tall, I have to use what is the definition of tall in the sense of Chinese, you know, the
right.
The how they define
the heights
the
are different
exactly.
with Chinese
exactly.
people as
exactly.
with American.
Exactly. And same thing applies, and that is reflected in the Saturn and Neptune,
mm-hmm.
which are not as tall as Uranus is the, like a basketball player,
mm-hmm.
if you will. That's just the, you know, the image that comes to my mind, basketball player. That's the Uranus. And so these are the things, these are subtle things, but they do reflect in charts based on the where the person is born.
Does this affirm or maybe reaffirm for you our connectedness, that we're all sort of in this together?
Oh, definitely. It's, I guess, one of the biggest advantage or biggest benefits, the personal benefits of this astrology to me is it helped me figure out myself.
Mm.
And in the process of that figuring out, I noticed that it's... the planetary cycles, they will keep on continuing. They have continued in the past, and they will continue. And they will come, what we call in the mundane terms, the challenges as well as the triumphs. They will continue that. But one has to go beyond, to understand the life beyond the triumphs and challenges. And then you see the connectivity. Connectivity in the sense that then you wonder, I'm supposed to go through these challenges and triumphs. What is the ultimate thing? And then you really understand that, hey, we are all one for each. We are for each, everybody, for each, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
the old Three Musketeers phrase, all for one and one for all.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, and we're talking today with Jagadish C. Maheshri, and he is PhD. He's a personal and business consultant, and his website, astroinsight.com, is your resource. If you'd like to contact him, you can do so through his website, and we are linked to his website as well. At richarddugan.com. So we encourage you to check out his information and the Vedic astrology, which is the method that he has chosen. Now, you said that you had been involved with and had been practicing, if you will, Western astrology.
Right.
For a number of years, I would take it.
Yes, yes.
How were you introduced to Vedic astrology?
How was I introduced to Vedic astrology? Well, it all started in the summer of 1966, 67. I don't remember exact. So when one of my distant uncle dragged me to go to an astrological, you know, a lecture by a well-known astrologer back in India, and I was really not interested, but then he was going to treat me for a nice, you know, lavish dinner later on. So that was my incentive to go with him. And so I went with him, and then I was not interested in his lecture because I thought that this is all, you know, I was totally disinterested. But after the lecture, there were people lined up to, you know, get an appointment from him, and my uncle was interested in having an appointment. And so I was with him. And then he was the astrologer. I was asking a question to someone who really wanted to become an astrologer, you know, an amateur. Do you know solid geometry? And my antenna just went up. And what solid geometry has to do with astrology? And then I got suddenly interested. I bought his books. Actually, my uncle bought for me those books at that time. And I read astrology, and I really didn't find a whole lot about solid geometry. But at that moment, that was my defining moment in life, that I wanted to prove this thing wrong, because curiosity is, you can call it my strength or weakness, but it's, I get emotionally involved with my curiosity. And that's when I plunge into this crusade, if you will, to prove this wrong. And here I am, talking on this Vedic astrology on air.
And I would take it, for you, it has been a rather exciting journey.
Absolutely. I wouldn't have any other way.
Yeah. Now, what about your I take it you have family back in India?
Yes, I have.
And obviously, as you say, you do visit on occasion.
Yeah.
Are they interested in, do they really care? Hey, we know it's a part of our culture.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to preach to the choir, as it were, kind of thing.
Right.
Or are they just as intrigued and they ask you questions when you come back and visit?
Oh, yes. They do ask me questions when I come back, go back and visit. That's, yeah. And they are just as interested. Again, each individual is different, and so are their interests. But I have seen people from just the mundane interest to the deeper interest, you know, in philosophical interest. There are a lot of people who are interested in a philosophical way in astrology, and I tend to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, there are all kinds of people. And so they are interested. To answer your question, yes, they are interested.
Now, you said that Vedic astrology has had to make some fine-tuning adjustments along the way when certain planets are added to our solar system. So now what has happened to Vedic astrology now that a planet has been dropped from our solar system as a planet? I mean, the physical body is still out there circling the sun.
Right.
So how does that...
I think it's on the paper, if it's dropped or not. But body is still there physically.
Yeah.
And it does influence.
Yeah.
It and so as far as I'm concerned, at one point they were talking about dropping Pluto. Actually, they did drop it.
Right.
Now they restored the Pluto.
They did restore it, okay.
Yes, they have.
I didn't get the memo, but that's okay.
Yeah. they have restored it. And so, yes. But as far as I'm concerned, yes, Pluto does influence. It's a body out there. Yes, it's not as big as Neptune or Uranus, but Pluto's influence on an individual level is not as important as opposed to the Uranus and Neptune.
Mm-hmm.
But Pluto does, if Pluto is, say, on the cusp of a given, you know, individual's house, I can tell you that it will, the individual is going to be overwhelmed with continuous activities in his life, continuous changes. That's my observation.
It's real interesting for me to sit here and listen to the comments by my various guests as far as how all of this plays together, and not continue to process in my own mind, but there are other planetary bodies out there we don't have names for that are also influencing us, that in some cases we're unaware of, or we can't see them, and of course we're unaware of them, absolutely.
Right.
Or we see them, but it's not important.
Right.
It's not as important as the nine planets that are circling the sun. And it's almost as if we're sort of drifting a little bit backward in time to when we believed that the Earth was the center of the universe and that's all that was important. Can you shed some light on that aspect of the totality of the galaxy, of the universe, is influencing us in some fashions? How does Vedic astrology, this science, address that?
Absolutely. One of the things, in order to answer your, one of the things you mentioned is the planets which were out there, but we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm looking at in astrology is until the planet comes in our consciousness, meaning until we know collectively that there exists a planet which is influencing us. If it is not in our consciousness, it's not going to influence us. That's the way I'm treating that planet, which is unknown to me at this point in time, and so it's not influencing us. When it comes in our collective consciousness, then it starts influencing. For example, Uranus. It was discovered in 1776. Uranus is the planet of change, planets of technology, planets of the leadership, planets of excitement. It was discovered at the time the U.S. was born.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that. You can relate everything that happens in the U.S. charts. Whatever happened in the United States over the period mm-hmm. of last 250 years, you can very clearly relate to. For example, the huge event that happened, Obama was elected as president,
mm-hmm.
when the Saturn and Uranus were in opposition. That was the first opposition after 150 years, and. I shouldn't say the first. It's the first opposition in 150 years while the Uranus is in Aquarius and the Saturn is in Leo, because
okay.
Aquarius is a very important sign. It's the sign of Uranus. And so that opposition is really, it's like evolution as far as the U.S. is concerned. It's evolution. So we made the history around that time.
No, go ahead.
And so that was the Uranus. So Neptune, if you trace back Neptune, you will see the influence of Neptune very closely related to what happens in Russia and China.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then you look at the lunar nodes and Rahu, lunar nodes, I call them Rahu and Ketu, that's in Vedic astrology, and the Saturn, which is really influencing the Europe. If you will. And so on. Each planet has their own function. And then some are combinations. For example, West Coast of United States is highly influenced by Uranus, as opposed to Texas is 60% Uranus and 35% Saturn. So you can see the oil there.
Mm-hmm.
While here is a high-tech industry. All the leading technology emerges on the West Coast of United States. And that's the correlation.
I guess one of the things that I guess I'm kind of like the little kid who asks why, and then they get an answer, why, and mm-hmm. they get another answer, mm-hmm. and they just keep asking why over and over again. So I'm going to ask the proverbial why, in as much as who placed the characteristics that you spoke of, for example, of Uranus, mm-hmm. that was discovered in 1776, who placed those characteristics on that planet?
Excellent question.
And why? And I'll ask the other part of the question.
Yeah.
But who did that?
Yeah, it was a collective effort by astrologers, Western astrologers, as well as Eastern astrologers, but mostly the Western astrologers, the astrologers from Europe. Everyone came up with some idea, and then they. They say, well, Uranus looks like this. Now, no one, you probably won't find. I don't know. I shouldn't say I'm the first one to say Uranus linked to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't find many people. I mean, many astrologers linking Uranus to the U.S. because it. You don't see. In other words, in 77 when it was discovered, definitely. Actually, in 2004, a planet was discovered. It named some numbers,
mm-hmm.
and we wouldn't know the influence of that planet until we go in the next 50 years,
mm-hmm.
and then we look at. We have to look at the events that happened. Now, some say the outbreak of the.
Whatever conflict, say?
Well, the more the conflict is the social, for example, the gay rights.
Okay.
The we are changing our norms, the way we live.
Mm-hmm.
And these are happening in last 10 years. In around 2004, the Iraq was invaded. That's just a starting point. And everything is going in a different direction. Now the travel has become a chore. It's a difficult chore,
yes.
as opposed to what it used to be. And that's reflects. And, the astrologers are wondering, what is this the influence of this new planet was being discovered? And it's just a part of learning process.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that yet. It wouldn't be revealed to us. For example, Pluto was discovered in 1931, and not until 1970 or 80, then the World War One and Two, World War Two and the Cold War, was connected to the Pluto, and it sure makes sense as we go along, and so it's a collective effort. if you will.
Yeah. Now, I understand the aspect of things coming into our consciousness, right, into our awareness. Right. Right. And until they do, obviously, there is no effect. That would lead me to the conclusion that any chart that I was going to create for an event or a person, if I could find the information, prior to that planet coming into our awareness is not part of that chart.
Absolutely.
Can't be.
Absolutely. So if I'm going to be looking at a chart, someone who's born in 1910, mm-hmm. I'm going to ignore Pluto.
Okay. So what does that do to the, because I know that there are computer programs that are used mm-hmm. in Vedic astrology in order to do this. Do those programs take that into consideration?
No, they will spit out the position of Pluto.
Okay.
You can always find out the, you know, the backward position of a planet which was not discovered then. You can find out the position.
But doesn't the existence of Pluto in 1910 in the chart, doesn't that impact the rest of the chart?
No. I don't know whether it's – well, I do not include in my interpretation.
Okay. You don't include
that's
it in
right.
yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
So some people might be doing that.
But the computer programs obviously are going to just because
right.
it doesn't account for
yeah.
What we've just discussed,
right, exactly.
these elements coming into our consciousness,
yeah,
our awareness.
Yeah, that computer program is spitting out the interpretation part.
Yeah,
because I don't use any of those programs which spits out the interpretation part. Only the positions.
Right. Now, some would also say that when you use the concept or you speak of heavenly bodies, if you will, planets coming into our consciousness, into our awareness, and it isn't until that happens that they become a part of the astrological chart, the Vedic astrological chart, that the whole aspect of this being a science is I think maybe a little in question. How would you address that?
Okay, that's a good question.
Because I understand the science aspect of it, and I can understand also in astrology the intuitive aspects of it, especially when you talk of Western astrology.
Right. Yeah. I know exactly what you what you're leading this leading me with this mm-hmm. question. I have tried myself at personal level applying Uranus, Neptune, Pluto for like historical events,
right.
Say biblical events, and I just did not find any way to correlate those. If I look at the technological evolution
mm-hmm.
in 100 years ago or 110 years ago,
right.
There was no plane.
Right, right.
So I see how rapidly we grew. Now, if you look at technology, if you plot the technology from, say, year 1 to year 2000,
mm-hmm.
the plot would be, it's a slow, no slope, almost zero slope, and all of a sudden when you come to 1776, it just
shot up almost.
Shoots up.
Yeah.
So that's where the influence of these modern planets mm-hmm. are reflected.
I find it fascinating. The planet was there the whole time. It's been there for, eons, obviously. And yet, we will not attribute its influence to us until we become aware of it. And yet, it's there the whole time. It's kind of like, you're looking for water under the soil, and it's been there the whole time. You just weren't aware of it, and you're dying of thirst. And until you find it, you're still parched.
Perhaps. Those planets are in the dormant phase, and until they manifest, mm-hmm. If you will, in our consciousness, mm-hmm. they're there. I mean, in terms of consciousness, they don't influence.
Interesting.
Well, the whole idea, how the planets influence someone who is born on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it physically? How can you? There's no way you can physically prove it.
Yeah.
Now, I have a theory of my own. And I don't know, someday I would like to, maybe it might be, I would never ever be able to prove it,
mm-hmm.
but I believe that the waves of energy, electromagnetic waves, if you will, coming from the bodies surrounding Earth,
mm-hmm.
they have their own influence.
Right.
Absolutely they have influence. Influence on the Earth. Now, they influence us most when we visibly, for example, if I visibly see moon, the moon is going to influence me individually. If I see Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, even though they were there, we did not have microscope or any telescope
mm-hmm.
to really see them.
Yeah.
It was they were discovered through telescope.
Mm-hmm.
So as our technology evolved,
we
could connect, we could reach up to that point and we'll bring it to our consciousness. And so is their influence on us.
Yeah.
That's one of the explanation I can come up with.
I'm thinking, too, in terms of a meteor hurtling through space. There are two of them. One is hurtling way, way off into the distance, going to the other side of the universe, and the other one's heading right for us. We see both of them, but the only one that's really influencing us is the one that's heading
there
right
you,
for us.
There you are.
Interesting. I'm Richard Dugan. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we want you to stay right where you are. We'll be back.
Take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the country's in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
Tell me your story, new paradigms for a new world, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, and my guest in studio is Jagadish Maheshwari. He is the author of It's All in Timing. And I could quote a fairly famous comedian who does a little joke on timing and play with that. I want to wrap up our program by, first of all, thanking you for sharing your time with us and coming into our studio. You're here in Santa Barbara vacationing, and we really appreciate the fact that you've taken the time to do that.
It's my pleasure.
I ask my guests at the end of the program this final question, and as obviously you were a chemical engineer at one point, you are not anymore. You could be doing a lot of other things. You could be a lot of other places, India being one of them. Why this? Why now?
Why this one? It's just interest, I suppose. Well, I guess I enjoy every moment whenever I do deal with chart, deal with astrology. I feel like I'm living.
Mm.
I live every moment of my life. And that's why I'm doing it.
Well, we are glad that you are, because you are giving people an opportunity to learn some things about themselves, or at least about their conditions on the journey in their lives that they can prepare for or not prepare for. Again, that's their choice.
Absolutely.
Put on a raincoat or don't put on a raincoat.
That's right.
Rain is coming.
That's right. Exactly.
And just see where life takes you.
Absolutely.
Have you ever taken a look at your chart and noticed some conditions and just said, yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to prepare for it. I'm not going to put the raincoat on, euphemistically speaking, just to see what would happen?
Yeah, sure, sure. There are a lot of cases, I said, well, if this is going to happen, I'm just going to do the opposite
mm-hmm.
and see what happens.
So you're kind of playing with
playing with it.
Having
and
some fun with
sure,
it.
I got burned there many times. So that's how I learned, hard way.
Yeah.
But that's one way to learn, I guess.
Well, and it certainly adds some excitement to your life.
Absolutely.
If you're, and again, you're consciously aware that, hey, I'm choosing to do this.
Right. No, but that verifies what I'm trying to do, and so which is really a positive thing, even though I got burned. It's really positive. It's like a confirmation. Yeah. But a lot of times I used to think maybe psychologically it influences me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think it that way. It's not. I know it. Mm-hmm. It's not. It does have its value, if I will.
Well, again, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come on your show. And thank you again, Richard.
I want to let our listeners know that your website is astroinsight.com, astroinsight.com. And again, the book is entitled It's All in Timing. I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Join us every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time and on the internet at richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday, love to Lal.